Sometimes I think that 32 years, that's something. But my, you know, my parents have been married for over 70 years. 70 years, that is amazing. One time we were at a family reunion, and I asked Mom to share, you know, with about 100 of us, what's the secret? She said, I'll tell you how. Every time I've told him to do something, he did it. And that's how, and probably a lot of truth in that, hey? Probably a lot of truth in that. We have a couple of weeks between series, and the 2 weeks between series happen to be right before Easter, so we're doing Easter things. Last week we talked about the little phrase, I am. No, we did not. We talked about but God. We had done a series on I am, and last week we talked about but God, and that showed us a lot about Easter. Tonight is a one more week before we start a new series next week, and I just want to talk about some things that show us about Jesus' power. He is about how powerful he is, and that's important because one of the reasons that we can trust everything to Jesus, and I mean everything, the things in our past. And, you know, if you're like me, some of those things were pretty ugly, things in your past. You can trust your life, and you can trust your eternity. And one of the reasons you can trust all of that to Jesus is because because he is powerful enough to be trustworthy. He has great power. He has unlimited power. Unimaginable power that we do not have as people. And so tonight, I just want to talk about some of the places in the Bible that show us how powerful he is, and maybe you can look at that in a different way. Lots of people believe that Jesus really lived. Lots of religions, other religions, even other than Christianity, believe Jesus was a person. But when you start talking about his power, the things he could do, or the things he can still do, that's kind of where you might put a little distance between you and other religions, or maybe some of people you know. So tonight, we're going to talk about the most powerful man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. I like to listen to funny people on TV, comedians. If I'm flipping around and I'll see someone on stage or on a talk show and they're saying funny things, I'll leave it there and chuckle. And I can take a lot. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a Christian comedian. And if, let's say the person doesn't say a word that necessarily I would say from the stage, I won't just flip it off in disgust. I'll go ahead and listen, you know, if they're really funny. I can take a lot. But, you know, I will say that when I hear a comedian start to make fun of Jesus, whoa, I got to draw a pretty hard line there. That's not right. That's not cool. And I don't do it in a superstitious way. I don't do it in like a, I don't know, well, superstitious way. But there is just something holy and reverent and powerful about that name. Amen. It's just something powerful about it. And when someone, or maybe I'm watching a show, and they take a shot at the Lord Jesus, whoa, it's immediately off for me. And I won't watch it again. Won't do it. It's just something that I've always been like that since I've been a believer. I saw a skit one time, and this has to be 40 years ago, where a pretty famous comedian was just making fun of Jesus. I shut it off. And not too long after that, that comedian's life didn't go very well. Didn't go very well. And I said all that to say there's something about that name. Do you know there will be a point in the future, even future to us, where the Bible says in Philippians that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is powerful, he is holy, and he is worthy of our reverence and praise, Jesus Christ. So the first story I want to look at is in the book of John 18. I love this story. Just going to look at a couple places tonight where Jesus demonstrated his power, how powerful he is. I think this story is almost kind of humorous. And we're going to go John 18 and begin in verse 3. It says, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now just stay right on this verse a second. Now you see what's happening. Judas has got his people organized. He's got a band of men. They're in an organized group. He's got officers. They have different ranks. And they have all these fancy weapons, lanterns and torches and weapons. So they're ready. They are ready to do something. Next verse. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? So Jesus is in the garden praying. This is right before the crucifixion. Judas has decided to betray Jesus, and so he organizes an army. Okay, he gets all ready. They're organized by where they are. They come to him right at the right time. He's got all the officers in place. They've got their lanterns and torches and weapons. They are ready. Verse number 5. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. 6. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I love that, right? They come all organized, ready to take him out. They've got more people. They've thought through their plans. And all Jesus said, I am he, and that was enough power. Knock them all down, just like bowling pins or something, right? He didn't have to do much. He just knocked them down. That is amazing. Sometimes it probably didn't seem like Jesus had this power simply because he allowed people to take the step to crucify him. So in some ways, it may not have seemed that he was powerful, but he really was. This is the kind of power he always had at his disposal. Just 3 words, I am he, and boom, the whole place went down with 3 words. Jesus had that kind of power. Sometimes it didn't seem like he did, but he did. I think it's because the way some people hated him and treated him. But he did have power. He allowed people to treat him badly because he was willing to be a sacrifice or give his life so we could live forever with him. He had power. One time, he caused a horrible storm to stop storming. How many of you heard hail last night? Yeah, it wasn't very fun. I thought, oh no, here we go again a year ago. I see people still working on roofs from last year. Here it came through. So sometimes in the Bible, you will read about this horrible storm coming up on the sea. And Jesus can say, he said 3 more words, peace be still, and boom, that storm calmed. One time, he told some demons to come out of a possessed man, and they did. Another time, he raised a man, Lazarus, who had died, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed the sick. He healed the paralyzed. He helped the poor. He healed the blind. That's the kind of power that Jesus has, and that's why we can trust him. We can give him our lives. We can give him our past. We can give him our eternity, because he is powerful enough to handle that. His greatest display of power is when he conquered death. That was Jesus' greatest display of power. He was killed by people who were threatened by him. But after 3 days in the tomb, Jesus rose from the dead. He was alive. He was crucified and buried, but came back to life. We celebrate his resurrection on a special day. Sunday is Easter, and that's the day that the church all over the world sets aside to celebrate this resurrection. Now, we do that often here at the Esquire. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about the fact that Jesus rose again, because that's such, it is linked to the gospel. But Sunday is a special day, Easter, that we will celebrate that. After 40 days of his resurrection, he still walked on earth. And then after that time, he ascended up into heaven, which the Bible says is where he is right now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is our high priest. That's who he is right now for us. He is interceding for us. So when we fall short, when we sin, when we need an intercessor, a mediator, the Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Hey, I love when you tell me to pray for you, and I do that, or when you ask me about where a verse is or what this means or for advice, I love doing that. But what you should understand is there is one mediator between you and God, and that is our high priest, Jesus Christ. He is the person that gives us access to God the Father, because he had that kind of unlimited power. I want to read another verse, Matthew 28. This is one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended. Jesus came and spake unto them, the disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." There are a lot of takeaways in that short passage, but I want to give you two. One is that Jesus was given all power. All power. Not just some power, or limited here, or could do this at this time. Jesus says, "I was given all power." But the second thing I want you to notice is he told his followers, "I am making that power." And I don't even know if I understand all this, but Jesus says, "I am making that power available to you. So as you go out and you are a witness for me, you will experience that power in some way. Go ye therefore in my power and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." So do you know that you have that power available to you tonight? You can be an instrument of God's power. Do you know that is you? If you are a believer, you have Jesus' power available to you. You can do great things in the name of Jesus, things you couldn't do without that power. Look at this verse in Philippians 4:13. Here's what Paul says: "I can do all things." Now, he just didn't stop there. He didn't say, "I can do all things. I can do anything." It wasn't like it's a statement of a big ego, but he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's how Paul had that power, and Paul did have a lot of power, but it was Jesus' power, Christ's power through him, that let him do amazing things. So what do we do with all that power? If you experience that power, what do? Do you show off with it? Impress your friends? Why would Jesus give us something so valuable as his power? Well, we have that power to bring honor and attention and be a witness for the Lord. That's the purpose of it. It's not to bring attention for us. It's to bring attention to the Lord. You know where I get into my biggest trouble? When I start trying to put the attention on Mike and not on Jesus. But the best places in my life are when I use all the things that God has given me to try to bring attention to him. That's the best place in life, right? That's the best thing you can do with this power. Bring attention to the Lord. God would let you do amazing things. There's no limit to what you can do. The people you will meet, the places you could go, the opportunities you would have if you will be available to give God that honor and attention. It's just an unlimited thing. You could do amazing things if you are willing to do that. A few years ago, how many of y'all remember that guy who tightroped across the Grand Canyon? Do you remember that guy without he had that big stick, but he walked across the Grand Canyon? That scared me to death. I still think about it right now. I have the heebie-jeebies. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you do that? But do you remember, as he was going, he had a wireless mic. About halfway through, he started praying and thanking the Lord. And I thought, you know what? That's why he got to do that. God knew that if he would let that guy tightrope, now I'd be praying, I'd be, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. But he got to hold that stick, and just for a minute, a lot of people got to see him thank the Lord for what he was able to do. God will let you do amazing things, meet amazing people, if you are willing to let his power do a work through you. Okay, I want to just say one more story and we will be done tonight. Look at Luke 8:22. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So he told them in that verse before, come on, guys. Come on. Let's go. And so they're just doing what he said. They get on the boat. And they ran into a big storm, and they were in jeopardy. In other words, they didn't know if they were going to make it out of there. Now, think about that. Does that seem right, that you are doing exactly what Jesus says, and he takes you to a place where you suddenly feel like you are in jeopardy? And I've thought a lot about that story, and I've actually maybe talked about it a few times from the Esquire stage. They didn't feel safe, maybe, but they were actually in the safest place in the world, because later Jesus was able to speak a calm to that storm. They thought maybe it was stormy, and maybe they weren't where God wanted them, but they were exactly where Jesus wanted them and experienced the effects of a storm. So there are two things I want to say, and then we're done. One, just because you are in a period of your life that's kind of stormy and rocky and tough, doesn't mean you aren't where God wants you. Doesn't mean that. You may be exactly where God wants you, like they were, and you just are going through a storm. And two, sometimes Jesus has to get you in that storm so he can show you his power. He said, peace be still. And it was calm. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're having a tough time. Maybe you're having a tough relationship. Maybe there's other problems you're going through. That doesn't mean you aren't right in the middle of where God wants you. You may be right in the middle of of where God wants you, and you still may be going through some tough things. And God may be ready to show you his power and show you that he can calm a storm that we can't calm ourselves. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his power. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for the resurrection, and we get to celebrate that on Sunday. Lord, up from the grave, he arose. Amen. Amen. See you next week. We're going to start a new series, and you're going to sing Happy Birthday to me next week, okay? Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Are they supposed to come up and get one, Sherry? You can come and get one here, and or get it at the door. Help yourself to a plant.